I'm Linda. This is my husband, Len. Just a little bit about ourselves. At the end of this month, we've been married for 40 years. Hasn't always been a marriage made in heaven, but it's a marriage that's heaven-focused and shows the beautiful threads of God as he's worked in our marriage. So half of that we lived in South Africa, and the other half of our 40 years we've actually lived in New Zealand. So we very much feel like we're Kiwis. We have two married daughters. The one's married to a pastor, and the one has two boys, and the other one has two girls. So, and we travel around. We ordained pastors with the ELA movement, which is in New Zealand quite big, and the UK. But we actually travel around, so we're actually so blessed because we see so many different aspects of God's body and God's church. So we go totally interdenominational, and you know, we often come and all the expectations that you guys have that we're going to give you something of the Lord or demonstrate something, and that's our heart. But we've never ever gone to a church where we haven't taken back something of your heart, something that you've taught us along the journey. So we get excited, and we leave a big place in our spiritual suitcase because we know we're going to take something back of you, what you've planted in. So enjoy today, and it's a safe place, and my husband's a very gentle yet true teacher of God's word. And I'm just going to go and sit at the back because I don't fit into these seats anymore. I've had two back ops, so I need a little bit more space. So I'm not deserting him. So thank you very much for the invite. We really are blessed.
Thank you. Well, morning, folks. My name's Len Butner, and our ministry is called Eagle Ascend, just to give you a short introduction. We do work with churches, denominations, independent churches, and many of the body of Christ that comes forth that says, you know, we're looking for a closer and a deeper intimacy with God and to understand God's purpose and love for us as an individual, but also for a, you know, a house. So I believe that God is working on the corporate Son of Man. He's causing us to rise up and become who he calls us to be in Scripture. So I'm very strong on the Word of God in our ministry. I believe in the Word of God as the infallible Word written by God, inspired through the Holy Spirit, to give us all the tools and ministry gifts that we need to do the job that he's called us to do. Amen? He didn't leave us, you know, as orphans. You know, the promise of the Father that the Spirit would come and he would, you know, reveal the heart of the Father and the grace of Jesus Christ through us in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So I'm very strong with that, and I love to see God's people rise up and know the love of God in a greater way. And when you know the love of God, you know his voice. You know the intimacy that he loves you and that he wants to interact with us individually so that we find the heart of God. And in that way, we can then minister to one another and become, you know, the sons and daughters of God. Amen. And if you look back, you know, into, it was about 1517 when Martin Luther made that, you know, that strong statement about the priesthood of all believers. You know, next year is 500 years since that statement was made. And I believe we're still working through this thing to know that we are truly, you know, those, you know, priests that were called and are called by God. Now, the priesthood of all believers, I believe, is coming into its fullness in the very hour that we're living in. So you're responding to what God's saying to you about your own life. Amen. So I just want to reiterate what Reverend Mark said about, you know, prophecy. You know, today, you know, I'm hoping that at some point we'll be able to encourage some of you and speak to you. But, you know, prophecy comes when in a public arena, comes in the area of edification, exhortation, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. We speak to build up, stir up, and cheer up. So prophecy comes to build the church, build one another up, and help us to move forward The church needs encouragement. That means you need encouragement. The church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, that's who we are. We called out to do the work of God. Or, you know, some versions say the sent out ones. We sent out with a mission to bring the lost into the kingdom of God and minister to often those that are saved and already know the Lord, but to bring restoration to the body and those coming in, that once they get saved, for them to experience, you know, healing and restoration in the name of Jesus. Amen. So my first session really is I'm going to talk around the voice of God and get you to listen this morning. And part of, at the end of each session, I'm going to do a little bit of a practical exercise and ask you and get you to listen and to record. So one of the things that I want to talk to you about, the disciplines, if I could use this term, spiritual disciplines in your life. And part of my role as I travel and my role in Auckland is to work with Bible colleges, and they get me in to do some of the spiritual development of the students. And I've been doing that since about 1999. And I have a heart for the body of Christ and young people going into ministry, that they learn to hear God confidently and they know His voice. There can be nothing more reassuring for us when we're walking in the knowledge that God is speaking to us. Is that okay? That you become, you know, you come to know the voice of God and you know Him and you love Him. That's my plan today, that, you know, by the time we leave here this afternoon, you'll be confident in hearing God's voice and then understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit came, he gave us 9 beautiful gifts. He gave 9 beautiful fruits. So gifts and fruits speak about balance in our lives. That's why the picture of the Holy Spirit is a dove. You know, the eastern dove was a white bird that had 9 major feathers in this wing, 9 major feathers in that wing. It had 5 major feathers in its tail. The tail feathers speak about the apostolic ministry, the fivefold ministry that keeps the gifts and the fruit in balance in our lives. So if you've got some gifts and not so many fruits, you know, it's like the feather in the dove's wing. You can never fly in a straight line if those things are imbalanced. And God wants us balanced Christians, amen, so that we know the gifts of God are for us. And part of my exercise today with you is, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, that's subsequent to being born again, that you know the Lord and you love the Lord and you've been born of the Spirit of God, that there is a subsequent infilling of the Holy Spirit that came upon the early church in the book of Acts, that you experience that, and we pray for you so that you can move in the gifts freely and understand that God's got much more for you. Amen. So that's a little summary of where we plan to go this morning. And I have a number of scriptures. So what I'm going to suggest to you is, because of time, I'll read all the scriptures to you. And I'll make my notes available to Pastor, to Reverend Mark. And, you know, if you want them, you can speak to the, you know, church here at Oak Tree, and they will let you know, pass those on to you. Is that okay? So So really, I'm calling my first session the Sevenfold Voice of God to Us. And I'm going to use some of the way the enemy attacks us, or the enemy comes to deceive us, and how we also then listen to the voice of God for ourselves. So the first thing I want to say to you is, this is Jesus' command to us. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's a wonderful statement. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. Some versions say, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. The helper is referred to as the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, and He comes alongside us. The word Paraclete means the one that is called to be beside us, to help us, to counsel us, to intercede on our behalf, to give us wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit desires intimacy with us. He speaks to us. He communes with us. And there's a strong desire for friendship. I want to say, let's be, by the sheer fact that we are born of the Spirit know that we have a friendship with God. The greatest, desire and walk that I've had with God is to know that He's my friend and that I'm the friend of God. John 15 speaks about, that friendship that He's called us. I didn't call you as servants, but I called you as friends. So let's build up a friendship in the name of Jesus. And what I'm saying to you is the Holy Spirit always points us to the Lord Jesus. That's His role. He will point you and He will awaken in your life the very desire to have a closer relationship with God. And our relationship, as you and I know, Linda and I have been married for 40 years. We've learned to communicate today than when we first were married. And as your intimacy grows and you walk together, you learn to communicate in a better way. And in many ways, you understand one another sometimes without communication. You just know that you know. Those of you that have been married, it only has to be a look or a nudge and you know something's going on. And that's how God works with us. He often, fading out a bit there, He nudges me and He uses all the spiritual means to communicate with me. And let me encourage you this morning, God doesn't always communicate the same way. Jesus' ministry was very varied, and often the Holy Spirit will speak to me in a vision, in a dream. He will speak to me with an impression. I will hear the voice of God through the written word. The Logos word of God becomes the Rhema word of God. Suddenly a scripture will become very powerful to me in the sense that God will use that scripture to say and give it to somebody. This is fading out a bit there, Mark. I'm not sure whether it's me or the batteries. So I want to just encourage you this morning, open this morning and record what God's saying to you today. Okay. So what I want to encourage you, even in this time as we are sort of tentative to the Lord, if God starts speaking to you about something about your life, about your family, about your church, about your city, about the nation, start writing it down. And, that's something I do every morning. I record what God reveals to me, and I carry that in my life as often as needed. Do you think we should change the battery, Mark? I should be okay. Okay, I had it in the wrong place there. Okay, so record it this morning. Just make a mental note because we'll do a little exercise at the end there where I'm going to get you to interact and share with what God is speaking to you about because we are focused on the Lord. Immediately you focus on the Lord, you start hearing things and you become aware that God is speaking to you. And it's God has created us this way to hear. And I want you to hear this from me this morning. Scripture refers to, we have the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19 speaks about that, that we have the ministry of reconciliation. I'm sure that will be better. Sometimes we need to change our batteries. Amen. So the ministry of reconciliation, that means you have a message of reconciliation. And often God will speak to you about individuals needing reconciliation. And we think, wow, could that be me? Could that be God? Yes, God is referring to it because it's His will that we reconcile to Him and to one another. Love God. Your horizontal relationship and your vertical relationship is people. So essentially, your ministry is about God and people. That's the description of the cross. And love God and love people. That'll always motivate. You see, the word that motivates you and I in our gifting, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. Three keys there. Pursue love. That means you love your brothers and your sisters as you love the Father. Then desire. The word desire comes from a Greek word called benzelos, or the zeal of the Lord consumed my life. And the zeal of the Lord motivates us to speak His word in the gifts that God gives us. Amen? And so be open this morning that, you know, during our day we want you to interact. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and the prophetic gift to flow through the body of Christ. Why? Because that's the ministry that the Lord takes and uses it, not only in the church, but in the marketplace. When you minister and you go into the supermarket, you're going into the store, and God speaks to you about the person that you see opposite you, we need to be open to be able to share with them the love of God through our spiritual gifts. So I have this strong impression at times when I go into the supermarket, I look with the intention of seeing. And I want to say to you, if you don't focus on people, you're going to miss a lot of what God is saying. And God often will work in the area of my heart, and that impression that I get that the person's in a place of need, that will open me up to speak to the person about what God is saying to me. So I want to encourage you, let's be open as people that God can speak through us. About 2 years ago, I was ministering at a church up in Perth, and we had a leadership meeting, and around the table were many of the leaders, and I was going around the table, and I got to a couple, and I spoke to this man's wife, and I said, I see a wonderful gift on you, that, you know, God has given you in the area of being a chef and, you know, having incredible creative abilities, and that God wants to use your gift and extend that gift so that you start a business and, you know, to be a chef. And she, when I finished speaking to her, she said to me, that word's not for me, it's for my sister. And so I said, okay, and we went on and I finished, and then after that she came to me and said, I don't think that word's for me. So I said, okay. And then she went and told the pastor. And the pastor came to me and said to me, you really have riled up Shirley, yeah, because Shirley's not very happy with that. So I said, okay. And then, sometimes I get that, you know, feedback. And I said, okay, Lord, you know what you're doing. I'm just an obedient servant to you. And then when she went out of the meeting and the pastor was at the door saying goodnight to everybody, she said to the pastor again, that is not for me. I just want you to know that. So the pastor came back and said to me, look, you know, Shirley's obviously not happy with what's... So I said, well, all we can do is wait and see what God does. So we were back there the following year in Perth, and when we arrived at the airport, her sister, who's married to the youth pastor, who's the pastor's son, they came to fetch us, and they said, well, look, we'll take you for a lunch, and we'll just have a chat. So while we're at lunch, her sister says, have you heard about Shirley? So I said, no. She said, well, she took out her phone and she said, I want to show you some of these pictures. And she showed me all these cakes on the phone and she said, that's Shirley. So I said, amazing. She said, yes. Did you not know what happened to Shirley? So I said, no. She said, Shirley resisted that word. And then one day her husband came home and said, Shirley, that word was for you. Shirley said, don't be silly. That's not for me. He said, that word was for you. So, you know, sometimes there can be a disagreement on words. And so the husband said, what I've done is I've booked you into a culinary course where you can learn to make French pastry. So she said, I don't want to go. So he said, look, I've paid for the course. I think you need to go. So she goes to the course, and she does it, about 5-day course. And then they have a birthday party with the children. They had about 4 or 5 children. And her sister comes along and sees all these cakes and says to her, who made these, Shirley? So she said, oh, I made them. She said, this is amazing. She said, I'm going to take these down the road and I'm going to get some sales for you. Shirley said, no, don't be silly. Nobody will buy the cakes. Don't do that. But anyway, her sister took the cakes and she went to one or two cafes and they started placing orders. When the man saw them, he said, oh, 10 of those, 15 of those, 12 of those. So she came back with an order. So, yeah, Shirley's confronted with the fact that she's now got an order. So she starts making these cakes. And what happened was, suddenly she started getting orders, you know, and they started coming in. And her business started developing. So when I get there a year later, yeah, Shirley's got a thriving business. So on the Sunday when I'm at the church, the husband comes to me and says to me, you know, I want to just say to you, don't worry about the cakes. He says, the best news is, it's the money. He said, we've got money to send our children to a better school. We're able to buy a house. We are in a place where God is prospering us. I said, wow. And then Shirley comes over and says, look, I don't really want to talk to you. I feel too ashamed. I said, don't be silly. Just enjoy what God's doing in your life. And when we got back to New Zealand, 3 or 4 months after we'd got back, Shirley got an award in the city of Perth for the most innovative chef, a new chef that had come into the market. And I said, God, your name was glorified in Shirley's life and family. So sometimes we don't understand the things of God, and we don't always work with what God has given us. But let me say to you, the body of Christ is the most talented and gifted people on the face of the earth. See, we have to see our gifting and our talents in the way God sees us. Amen. And God will release you into a place that His will be done. And I agree with Mark, you know, pray into the Word, get counsel on your Word, and allow God to work it out in your life. You know, everything, you know, is not always for now. Prophecy speaks about a present, future thing, and often God is talking about us getting our lives sorted out now so that He can release us into a future thing. Amen. Very important to see that. But what Paul also says in the same scripture, that we are ambassadors for Christ. We've got to see that we represent the Lord as ambassadors in the kingdom of God. And that's really important. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So recognize that you carry an authority, you represent the Lord as an official representative of Him, and you walk in that authority as an ambassador for His kingdom. Amen. So you will be given opportunity in God to speak things that sometimes can impact people and their business and their lives. And, you know, as long as we give the glory to the Lord will keep using us to help them. Mark of relationship is love. Your relationship with God, you know, is very important. And let me emphasize this, that love, you know, covers us in many ways. And Paul speaks about he's got three chapters. 1 Corinthians 12, he speaks about the gifts. 1 Corinthians 13, he speaks about the motivation of our gifts is love. And then in verse 14, he speaks about the operation of the gifts, how they operate in our lives. But it comes out of relationship. So I want to just move on to some areas of listening. And I realize that time is important this morning. If you look at the written Word of God, the first way the Lord started speaking to me when I was born again, when I came out of a Catholic background, my wife and I were both Catholics, very devout Catholics in our home, in our families, and we went to a charismatic church that we were invited to, and God, you know, touched me in a very unique way. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I realized then that God had something more for my life, and you know, God started speaking to me out of His Word. So my Bible is a written roadmap of what God is doing for me in my life. So I write down things in my Bible. I put a date there, and I comment as to what God was saying to me. And if it's more than I can fit there, I'll write it down. So this is a roadmap of God's plan for my life and Him speaking to me. And I treasure it, and I want to encourage you that most times God will use His written Word, and it'll become a rhema to you, and you'll realize that God is speaking to you out of His Word. God would say to me, I want you to take this scripture to that person, and I want you to speak to them about my love, or speak to them about where they're going in their lives. And I learned to be obedient to that, and I realized that God would confirm His Word back to me because of the power of the written Word. You know, Hebrews verse 12, the word of the Lord is alive, powerful, It's a live word. It's powerful, and it brings revelation to people. When Peter had that revelation, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God," he had a revelation about who Jesus was. You and I live in revelation because we are born of the Spirit. You are not born because you had a good idea. No, no, you are born because God called you. He said, "I first called you." So the idea is God's idea, not our idea, when he calls you out. And then he starts using you in a way that is very unique. So understand the revelation of God's word is very important. Matthew 4:4. "But he," Jesus, "answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word," rhema, "that proceeds from the mouth of God." So I know my Father gives me revelation in the understanding of who he is, because I live in relationship with him, and he's calling you and I not to live a mile wide and an inch deep, but a mile wide, and to go deeper in him, deeper in what he has for our lives, so that he can use you to bring his kingdom's love, grace, goodness, and kindness into people's lives, and healing and restoration. That's why he gives us gifts to speak to us and use us in a very unique way. So I want to just cover some areas, because I'm conscious of time. I want to cover sort of seven areas, and I'll give you a summary of what I'm going to speak about. I want to speak about what the voice of the devil's about, in other words, demonic voices, the voice of the flesh, number two, number three, the voice of reasoning, number four, the voice of communication. We commune with God in worship. Number six, we have a conscience. God speaks to our conscience. And then I also want to speak to you about God's voice through the Holy Spirit. And I've just learned those as I've traveled and as I've learned to walk with God, that he reveals himself in those very number of ways. And, you know, there's a certain recognition and reverberation of God's voice on the inside. And you and I need to become sensitive. I want to leave three keys with you in your quest to know God in a better way. Become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That means you listen with an ear of sensitivity. Number two, you become available for God to speak to. And number three, you become obedient to what God is saying to you. Three keys: sensitivity, availability, and obedience. If you live in that three areas of opportunity in God, he will speak to you in a very clear way there. Amen. So the voice of the devil, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. So we know that the devil is defeated, but, you know, he will come and he will try and deceive us. How much deception can he deceive us? It can be 5%, 10%, 50%, 70%. There's, you know, we have to close the voice of the enemy down in our lives and realize when he's speaking. And the best way that I can, or the most unique way, is line it up with Scripture. You know, the devil will tempt you. You'll know that that's his voice. He will stir up unforgiveness in your life. He will torment you. He will cause division in your family. He will stir up fear in your life. The fear of making, I believe, you know, that is one of the key areas that hinder us in hearing from God, is the fear of getting it wrong. Fear is a terrible, the enemy lives in the realm of fear. He brings fear into our lives, and he tries to hinder us through anxiety and fear that maybe this isn't for you, or leave it to the pastor, leave it to the reverend, they can do it. But God's calling us to rise up so that we become part of the ministry that God has given to the church. So the key here is that you do not have the spirit of fear. You do not have the spirit of fear, but you have what? This is 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 and 7. Paul first says, stir up the gift, and then he says to young Timothy, you don't have fear. No, no, you have power, you have love, and you have a sound mind. If you understand those three keys, it'll help you to press through. You have the power of the Spirit inside of you. You have the love of God, perfect love, casts out all fear. Amen? And number three, you have the sound mind. You have the mind of Christ. you know, Philippians 2:5. Your mind is in Christ. Amen. Because you are born of the Spirit. Unless you are born again, you shall not see the kingdom. That's what the word talks about. Seeing something worth pursuing in God. Amen. So don't let the fear of man get hold of you. It can be a snare. Fear of woman, they can be scary too. You know what I'm saying? Amen. So, you know, the enemy will cause confusion. He will blind your mind. He will cause you to be bitter. He will cause you to doubt God's word. He'll cause you to lie. And he will deceive you. Those are the number of things in the New Testament that it speaks about the voice of the devil. And they will, that voice will come and it'll try and bring confusion and doubt in your life. Recognize that's the devil trying to influence you through what you're hearing. Amen. In the Old Testament, there are many similar scriptures. And so, for you, for me to encourage you, know that the voice of the devil will bring condemnation. The voice of the Holy Spirit brings conviction. There's a difference. We don't feel condemned. We feel the conviction to do something because God's love has come upon us and we move a different way. The voice of the flesh, you know, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that they do not do these things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Galatians 5:16 to 18. So it's interesting that Paul says to the Galatians, walk by the Spirit, not according to our fleshly desires. Why? Because the flesh has a voice. Feed me, feed me. You know, the flesh, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You know, if you're in a place of authority, a pastor, a teacher, a CEO, a member of parliament, a police commissioner, your flesh will have a voice. And it's very important that you recognize when the flesh is speaking to you and when, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. And the book of Galatians in chapter 5 reveals the resounding sound of the flesh. And it's very important that you don't listen to the flesh, that you understand that fleshly things are evident. If you look at Galatians 5:19, it speaks about 17 of those areas. It speaks, I won't spend a lot of time on it, adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulsions, wrath, envy, seductions, heresies, murder, drunkenness, revelry, all those things are the voice of the flesh. And that's what it speaks about. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are. That's Galatians 5:19. So if you're hearing anything that's coming in that area of your life, you can recognize it by knowing the scripture that that is not God. And then you can close that down. You know, enemy, go in Jesus' name. So my walk with God is very simple in that. The voice of reasoning, often we reason ourselves out of the very will of God. The Pharisees were very good at that. The Greek word for reasoning means to dispute, cast down, or bring, you know, different reasons for things. And, you know, they often will, you know, when a dispute arises, and Jesus dealt with disputes often with the Pharisees, it says the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemes? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But then Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your heart? You see, so sometimes we will reason against the very truth of God's word, and God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to receive his word, the truth of his word, in revelation. So it's important to know that. It's interesting that it uses the word that Jesus perceived. I'm going to come back to that word. It's very powerful in the New Testament. If you look at the Old Testament, the prophets and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they received the Lord in the Old Testament. So there was a filling of the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, we perceive much more than we receive. You receive the Holy Spirit, but then after that you become very sensitive in the area of perception. Your human spirit becomes a sensitive place where you are hearing from God. That's why the Father said right in the beginning in Genesis 1:27, let us make man in our own image and likeness, body, soul, and spirit. So you're a three-part person, your body, you have a soul, which is your will, your mind, your emotions. Then you have a spiritual side of you, your human spirit is made up of three parts. It's made up of your commune with God. We are created to be worshippers of Almighty God. If we don't worship God, we'll find an idol to worship. That's why God said to Israel, you know, get rid of these idols that you are worshiping, because man has the tendency, if they don't know the Lord, to find some form of idol to worship. It might be a motor car, a job, a sport, something today that would take you away from the very commune that God has called us to be, a people of spirit and truth in worship. That's why we start our service with worship. We end our services with worship. Why? Because it brings us to a focal point that God gets the glory in everything we do. Amen. If we remember that in our worship of God, it's a key for opening up your spiritual man to receive from God. Worship is a beautiful thing that God created for us. Don't let the enemy corrupt that in our lives. Amen. Very important. I'll come back to that. I'll talk a little bit more about that. In fact, reasoning, one of the great things about reasoning is the mind. The mind, we reason with the mind. That's why it says in Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The key for us is the Word of God transforms our thinking and the way we see God and the beauty of God and the love of God. We see that through the Word. And when we meditate on the Word, we become filled up. That's why, you know, Joshua encouraged us, I meditate on the Word of the Lord day and night, so that he could be strengthened. He was spoken, you know, that Word was spoken to him three times in the first chapter of Joshua. You know, meditate on this Word, brother. Live in the Word. And if you look at Psalm 1, speaks about, you know, meditating on the Word of God. I love that. God gives me a scripture. I spend my time at night, during my awake hours, meditating on a scripture, and then I pray it back to God. God reveals things to me. If you look at Psalm 16, verse 7, it says, the Lord counsels me in the night season. Isn't that amazing? How does that happen? When I think of God, when I meditate on His Word, God speaks back to me. He counsels my heart to go and reconcile back to my brother, or to help a brother, help a friend, help a family member. Why? Because counsel has come to me in the night season. That's why the Word speaks about dreams and visions, impressions, counsel, wisdom. I can go to bed with a problem at night and I give it to the Lord. In true honesty, Lord, help me. The next morning I have a solution in God to help somebody because I've heard something from the Lord. So I want to encourage you, we as people need to press into that. If we don't ask. Ask and you shall receive. A simple faith request to God. God, give me wisdom. We don't have because we don't ask. So moving on from reasoning, I want to talk to you a bit about three areas that have helped me tremendously is commune, to commune with God, to perceive God, and to understand how my conscience works. And those areas are key to us. You know, our commune with God is how we pray to Him, how we intercede to Him, intercession, adoration, fellowship as a believer is really key in my life. John 4:23, true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So God is interested in truth in our lives, and worship helps us to focus on Him, Jesus, who is the truth. And it's a very powerful thing to enter into worship in the morning when I walk. I try to walk on a regular basis, and my first thoughts are, God, I love You, I honor You, I adore You. You're the King of Kings, the Almighty. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. You're the soon coming King. I honor You, I worship You, because You're the rock of salvation. You're the, you know, You're the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I let God know in my heart what I think of him and how much I adore him. God then comes back into me and he starts speaking into my heart and my life. But I let him know who he is. He's the commander of the armies of God. And when I can call on him, I call on the Lord Almighty God. Know that he will answer me on behalf of others. And I've seen it happen too often to know it's coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that God has got a plan and a purpose for all of us to outwork his purpose on the earth. Amen? So learn to be worshipers, folks. And the Lord is saying to us, open your heart to me and give it back to me, and I will pour it back into your life. And I, you know, as we've traveled, Linda and I can testify that many times during worship, people are getting healed. They're getting the wonderful conviction of the Spirit. Some folks have been delivered of, you know, oppression and all sorts of things during our worship time. And I believe as we concentrate on God and we give him our, you know, the glory for who he is, things are going to start happening in this dispensation that we're in today. I have no doubt. Perceiving, which speaks about in a natural terms, intuitive ability. We all have intuition. Ladies are very strong in the area of perceiving. They will tell their children certain things not to do because they know something that they know something. And you become very sensitive in this area of perception. Don't go down there because there will be a problem. You know, you can be walking down a dark alley and you'll know that there's danger there. How do you know? You can't see the danger. You become aware of the danger. You turn around and you go the other way. And perception is a, you know, Jesus perceived the intentions of the Pharisees. The lady at the well perceived what Jesus was about. She said, I perceive that you are a prophet. How did she know that? She encountered God and something was awakened in her and she suddenly perceived. When Paul was in the boat, he said, I perceive this boat will not be wrecked. There will be no loss of life, but there will be, you know, a disaster and the boat will be wrecked, but no loss of life. He perceived something. So we become very sensitive in the area of impressions in our lives, and we need to test the impression and understand that this is God. So one of the things I've learned that as I minister to people, and Linda and I have done a lot of prayer ministry over the years, I often will minister to somebody out of what I see. I'll say to them, you don't have to tell me, let me exercise my gift and ask the Lord what it is. So I'll come to them and I'll say, the first thing I see is fear over your life. Does that, you know, make sense? Give me some feedback. I see that you've been wounded in your spirit. You've been through a time of you know, great turmoil and you've been abused. Is that, you know, what God is saying to you? And, you know, so I've learned to stretch myself so that I learn to perceive what the Spirit is saying. In the area of perception, the gift of discernment, it grows from perceiving into the gift of discernment, one of the revelation gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. You learn to understand through the exercising of your spiritual senses to be able to discern between good and evil, Hebrews 5 verse 14. And we learn that those areas of natural senses also apply to spiritual senses. Very important to understand that. You have eyes that see. You know, that's why Peter prophesied. Young men will have visions. Your old men will have dreams. He was speaking about perceiving spiritual things. And I still get both. I get visions and I get dreams. I say, thank you, Lord. I'm not old. I'm not young. I'm somewhere in the middle. And, you know, you've got to believe God for both. You don't have these things operating if you don't exercise them and you don't ask for them. In simple faith, Lord, speak to me in the area of perceiving. And, you know, perceiving is an area when I work with people, I've learned to trust that in my life, and I want to encourage you to trust that. The one church we were ministering up in, up north of Perth, there was a couple that we came through to minister. They brought the families and all their children. I thought this will be an easy morning, it's just the children, but then the pastor had a revelation. He said, you might as well minister to the families as well. And I thought, well, this is going to take me all day. But I got to this man, and sometimes it's interesting that the Lord will show me something about the way they dress. And I saw his shoes look very dirty, out of characteristic to the way he was dressed. And I thought, I wonder what that is. And just in that wonder, the Lord said to me, it's because he's going to places that are not, they're not good places to go to. And it's caused a bondage in his life, and he's under the effect of, substance abuse, and that in turn is affecting his family. So I thought, I wonder how I'm going to say that in a nice way. But, you know, I said to the man, I said, do you mind if I speak to you, encourage you? And he said, yes. So I said, I noticed that, you know, you've been going to places that haven't been helpful to you or your family. And, he didn't say anything. He just deadpan face. And I said, that has opened you up to bondage. And the bondage is causing you to become addicted. And the addiction is causing division in your family and in your own life. If you allow that to continue, it could destroy your family. Does it make sense to you? He nodded his head. And I thought, thank you, Lord. That's all I needed to know. This was from you. The pastor came to me afterwards and he said, that's a big family, that. He said, there are about 10 folks that come on a Sunday. He said, I hope you're right. Bit of confidence. Thank you, Pastor. I hope I'm right too. And then Linda came to me and said to me, it didn't look like he had any problems with alcohol, with drugs. I thought, oh dear, all right. And sometimes you get that, but we've got to learn to try and walk with God and know that God will help us. But fortunately, on Monday morning, the pastor phoned me and said, the first call I had this morning was from that couple that you spoke to. So I said, oh, what did they say? He said, I had the wife on the line. And she said, I found out from my husband that he's been in substance abuse for 5 years. We need to come and see you. I said, okay, there we are. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing reconciliation, you're bringing healing to the family. And, you feel better when you've heard that news because you know that God wants the best for them. How does that come? It comes out of perceiving. Lord, you're saying something, you're showing us something. Help us to respond in what you are speaking to us about. Why? Because the result is that a restoration of a family of, a number of children and other friends that are living with them, their whole life gets turned around for God. Amen. That's what's so powerful about the gifts. So learn to understand the promptings of the Holy Spirit. The communication comes in a very, I use the word verberation because when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, I sense a different type of voice in my heart. And God might speak to you in a different way, but I want you to cultivate the voice of God for yourself, that you recognize this is God. And if you record it, it helps you to look back and say, this is similar to what I've heard before, and this is now God speaking to me. So if you've done it for a number of years, as I have done, it becomes part of life, part of ministry life. So when I got saved in a Pentecostal charismatic church, I was very unaware of any of this, and that was in 1988. So I've been around this prophetic stuff for a while, and I started seeing people prophesy, and I said, Lord, is that for me? Because I have such a strong desire to do this. And now started moving in this area, and the people that were oversight in my church helped me and said, son, you've got a gift. We'll help you steward your gift because what you're hearing is from God. Let me say to you, when you hear from God, it should become a great privilege that we have actually heard from Almighty God. If you value what you hear from God, God will use you more and more. And it comes out of desire. God, I desire to do your will. And I believe the church is in the hour where we have to rise up and take hold of this so that we can help people, that we can help the church stay on the narrow road that God has called us to walk in. Amen. We are swimming against the tide, folks, and we need some strong swimmers. Amen. That's why God gives us the gifts. And then I want to speak to you a little bit about you know, Jesus uses this illustration. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Is it interesting that we call sheep? Maybe it's all the bleating that goes on. But, you know, feed me, Pastor. Man, I need some more. But that's how we live. Now, Jesus said this, he made this point clear. He said, my sheep, you know, he speaks about my sheep, speaks about relationship. My sheep. They're not somebody else's sheep. They're not the devil's sheep. They are my sheep. And he names us that by the beautiful sense that we are, you know, counted up. We are counted worthy. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:16. Then Jesus points out, because of the relationship, there's a result. The result is, my sheep hear my voice. Isn't that a key? Because we are sheep in relationship, he says we hear his voice. And then he goes on and he says, you know, out of relationship and result, there's a reason I know my sheep. There's a reason that he knows us is because we have intimacy in relationship with the Father. Amen. In Jesus' name. So that's really important to recognize that. I want the word, you know, see. Often the Bible talks about seeing something. You know, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said, behold, an Israelite without any guile, a man with no deceit. Nathanael said, how do you know this? Or how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And that word saw comes from a Greek word called eido, which means to perceive, to see with the eyes, to your senses become aware. You discern, you discover, you know. And, you know, that's why sight is such a powerful metaphor that God uses in his word. Often we look in the natural, but God wants us to look in the spiritual. So that's why he's given the body of Christ such a unique thing of seeing in the spiritual realm. Amen? And it's not to make us puffed up or anything like that. It's so that we can help people. The gifts of God are ministry to the body, so the body can become healed and restored and fulfill its destiny in God. We see something. So perceiving is where you receive revelation, inspiration in the spiritual world. Jesus tells us that the Spirit of the Lord will speak. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So often that's why prophecy speaks about now, foretelling, and then foretelling. You know, foretelling is a now situation, and foretelling is a future thing. So God often reveals his word in a now and a future requirement for us. Why? That's so that we know we have a future in God. Very powerful. Amen. So let me talk to you a little bit about conscience. Your conscience will bear witness to the truth. That's why the Bible is very strong about, you know, Paul says this, I strive always to keep my conscience clear between God and man. What a wonderful saying. He says, you know, I want to be sure that my conscience is clear, because the Holy Spirit will speak to your conscience and reveal the truth. The truth is that, you know, pen doesn't belong to you. It belongs to somebody else. How did you know that? Your conscience made you aware that that is not, you know, part of your property. And it's very important that we able to sense between right and wrong. And our conscience is that area that becomes very, very uniquely sensitive to God. Let us draw near with a pure heart or true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Speaks about the water of the word keeping us in a pure conscience. Your conscience will bear witness to the truth. Very, very important. The Bible talks about four types of conscience. It talks about a good conscience, 1 Timothy 1:5. You have a good conscience. As believers, we should have a good conscience. Amen? And then it talks about a weak conscience, 1 Corinthians 8:7. You have a weak conscience. Why? Because you haven't always obeyed what God has said to you. And then you become a seared conscience, 1 Timothy 4:2. when a wound gets cut in the old days, they used to sear it with a hot iron. And the flesh around that wound becomes, there's no life in it. And, you know, when our hearts become seared, we don't listen too well, we don't hear too well, because our conscience isn't picking up what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Amen. And then an evil conscience, Hebrews 10:22, which I read out, you know, wonder why there's evil in the word. There's in the world today. People's conscience has become seared and affected by evil, evil, evil. And the enemy's plan is to deceive us through evil. I don't know if any of you follow some of the news, but, you know, the old days when O.J. Simpson was committed, you know, and he went through that very arduous court case. And at the end of the court case, one of the interviews from Fox News said to him, you know, said, do you think justice was served on this? And the lawyer that was with him answered before he could open his mouth and said, yes, legal justice was served, but moral justice was not. And, you know, today there's a separation between legal and moral justice. And we see it all over society. And it's growing, the division is growing wider. What's going to keep us in truth is the conscience. Holy Spirit, reveal to us your truth. Amen. So we live it with a good conscience. And, you know, the good conscience keeps you sensitive to the Lord. The Lord will keep you from any evil if you live in a good conscience. Amen. And I believe the Holy Spirit works in my life, and I need to be and continue to be very sensitive to anything that is not in line with God's word, or anything that I see or comes at me. I've got to stay in this fine line that God's called me to walk in. Amen. And I want to encourage you all in that as well. David said this in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. The voice of God, I want to just, I'm running a little bit behind you, but I just want to finish this quickly and say to you, the voice of God, the hearing of God's voice, my last point, you know, I look at Scripture and I grab hold of Scriptures that really mean something to me, and I'll give you a few examples. The Word of God is instruction in righteousness. So if I'm living in righteousness, God will instruct me in righteousness. And He will correct me in righteousness as well, to 2 Timothy 3:16. It'll cause you to profit in Christ. It brings to remembrance God's Word. So I don't only read the Word, I memorize the Word. So often God will speak to me out of His Word because I've got it in my heart. And He'll say, now I want you to speak about this thing because it's on your heart. He exhorts us, He comforts us, He rebukes us, and He reproves us. He convicts us of sin. He leads us into salvation. He reassures us of the Heavenly Father's love for us. See, one of the keys that I want to say to you is know the love of God for yourself. The reason I'm saying that is we should not have anything hindering us from receiving the love that God has for us. It gives us reassurance that we loved. If we get it wrong in our delivery of the word or our understanding of what God is saying to us, we can put up our hand and say, Lord, forgive me, for I've got that wrong. And you can go to the person and say, please forgive me, I didn't hear correctly there. And you move on from that. But if you're struggling with, you know, and you haven't got the reassurance of the love of God, what are you going to say? And God wants us to be free to be able to bring any, you know, words of love and correction, because often the prophetic, I believe the prophetic voices, we hear the love of God for a person because God sees their circumstances and He wants to speak into a love that He has for their lives so that they know they've found hope again, that God is aware of where they are. That's why it doesn't give you, you know, prophecy doesn't give you a full picture. It gives you a snapshot of what God is saying to you at this hour because you've heard. What makes us prophetic is the fact that we hear from God. And we hear from God out of the Word, and my faith increases as I step out in the Word, because you prophesy according to the faith that you have. So God wants to stretch our faith and get us out of the boat, not to be safe in the boat. I mean, the boat's a good place sometimes when the storm's around, but God wants us to get out the boat and do some water walking and try things with God. Amen? And because this is a safe environment, and I love what Reverend Mark has said to you, you know, that the safety of the members is the pastoral role that God has given to the church. Of the fivefold ministry, the pastor makes sure that the sheep are always safe. And that is absolutely key in what we do today, that, you know, you are safe in this environment, but also safe to exercise and get out of the boat and try some things that you haven't tried before because you're hearing from God. Amen? So God wants us to grow big ears so we can hear from Him. Amen? So we're going to stretch your ears a little bit this morning. I just want to say these few things and close with this. The best and the most important things to remember, you must study the Word of God for yourself, number one. Number two, meditate on the Word of God day and night. Number three, spend some time praying daily. Number four, you must spend time communing with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome you in my life today. We often sing that. Number five, be part of a good church. Very essential. Number six, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Number seven, seek wise counsel from your leadership as you go forward in your gifting. Amen. So we better stop for tea or else we'll get thirsty. Amen.